Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we continue our preaching series on the book of Exodus as we look at the story of manna from heaven in the wilderness. The Israelites have just been liberated from the slavery they endured under the Egyptian Empire, and instead of celebrating in their new place, they find themselves grumbling because they are hungry. And in response, God rains down a fine, flaky, white substance called manna from heaven. It covers the ground like dew. And their response to this is, "What is it?" Which is exactly what manna means. What is it? God sets the Israelites free and provides for them, but they don't quite get it. They don't understand what is happening. And if I'm honest, I don't think it's much easier for us to understand God's gifts of freedom and the way God provides for us today. Trusting these promises is a lifelong journey. Why otherwise would we have so many biblical stories reminding us of these central tenets of faith, to trust and to know that we are free? When I was a kid, I learned about these things through Martin Luther's Small Catechism. I'm guessing many of you did too, and it continues to be the basis of our middle school teaching, confirmation curriculum. And in the Lutheran Church everywhere, this is what we use. In the Small Catechism, Martin Luther explains the various parts of our worship service, like our Lord's Prayer, the Creed, the Ten Commandments. We don't speak the Ten Commandments in worship, but it is the basis for our lives of faith. Like the Israelites who ask, "What is it?" Martin Luther asks the question to each of the little segments of these very standard pieces of our Christian faith. Martin Luther asks, "What does this mean?" The first article of the Creed, which we say every week, goes like this. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. We just said it a few minutes ago. When Martin Luther asks, what does this mean? This is the response that we learn in confirmation, or we learn how to live with this response. We say, I believe God has created me and all things that exist. God has given me and still preserves my body, my soul, and all their powers. Which means that God has given us everything we have, our clothing, our shoes, our food, our drink, our house, our home, our relationships, everything that is ours. All this is done out of fatherly and divine goodness and mercy without any merit or worthiness of our own. This is what we mean when we profess and confess, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. And then in the Lord's Prayer, when we ask God for our daily bread, when we say, give us this day our daily bread, Luther says this, God certainly gives daily bread to everyone without our prayers. But we pray in this petition that God would lead us to realize this and to receive our daily bread with thanksgiving. Again, what is meant by daily bread? It includes everything that has to do with anything that supports our bodies, the needs of our bodies, food, drink, clothing, shoes, house, home, land, money, goods, relationships, work, faithful rulers and government, good weather, good health, all the things, faithful neighbors, all of these things is included under the umbrella of good bread in Martin Luther's explanation. In the case of the Israelites in the wilderness, they are given manna and quail. In the case of our lives today, God gives us what we need to make sure we have the freedom that God has promised and the grace to live with that freedom in community with others. Martin Luther also wrote something called The Freedom of a Christian when he was alive. And it's a very famous piece that illustrates the freedom and grace that we live with as Christian people. In it, he says, a Christian is a perfectly free Lord of all, subject to none. And a Christian is a perfectly dutiful servant of all, subject to all. The two go together in a weird kind of way. It runs contrary to the way that our contemporary understanding of freedom really maybe means, because I think sometimes we think freedom gives us license to do whatever we want, which on the surface may be freeing. But God's freedom calls us to love God and one another by serving and trusting and seeing the best in one another, just as God does with us. It's hard to trust this free gift of grace. It's hard to receive anything that seems valuable, isn't it? We kind of wonder, what's the cost on our part? But God simply says, this is yours. You do nothing. I see you, I love you, I free you, and now go do the same for others. So, just over a month ago, a group of us from Mount Olivet, 25 women in fact, returned from a trip to Spain, where we walked 100 kilometers together along the Camino de Santiago. The Camino is a route that's been traveled for over 1,200 years. There are hostels and places of hospitality along the path. Pilgrims, those of us who walked it, and there are a few of us in the room right now, would make this daily walk and receive food and drink and shelter, medical attention, whatever we needed along the way, with the help of the other pilgrims and the hospitality stations. This is what our days looked like. We'd wake up each morning, we'd eat breakfast, then we'd set out for 14 to 16 miles usually until we'd reach the next town, and then we would stay. Along the way, we'd meet and interact with people we wouldn't have met on our own, probably. We'd receive gifts we hadn't chosen or selected for ourselves, and we'd trust that God's provision was enough. On the Camino, everyone was equal. We didn't know if people were famous or not, and since coming back, I've learned there were some famous people walking at the same time as us. We carried only what we needed, and universally, each one of the 25 of us learned very quickly that we arrived in Spain with way too much stuff, way too much baggage. And every item that was extra was simply added weight for our journey ahead. So as days went by, we learned to let go so that it would not hold us back or weigh us down. And though the Camino sounds like it was a physical feat, we were worried about all that we needed to do physically to be in shape for it, I would say that, and it was the most obvious one ahead of us, we all recognized very quickly that we were walking it more deeply, even to find awareness on our path in relationship with God and each other. But walking the physical walk allowed us to open ourselves up to our understanding of trust with God and each other. It took all three of them along the way. And each one of these things brought new learnings and ways to live in the world. We set out to walk these 100 kilometers to end up at a place called the Cathedral of St. James. But that really wasn't the point of the journey. The journey itself was the point of the journey. It's the way, not the destination. In fact, they say the Camino begins when it ends, because it's not the 11 days we spent in Spain that changed us. Well, yes, it changed us, but it wasn't there and done and packed up neatly so we could leave it behind. But it was so that we would learn to live in that spirit of trusting God and one another as we shared life together when we returned to our homes. It was a journey reminiscent of the Israelites' journey in the wilderness and the freedom that they were given in this journey, because we are reminded that God provides for us every step of the way, and God frees us to be exactly who we are called to be, which has really opened my eyes to the graces and freedoms around me each and every day, things that I might not have even noticed before. Since returning from the Camino, I celebrated a big birthday, in fact, and my family knows how much I love birthdays, and so they made a really fun bingo card for me for my birthday with all sorts of activities that bring me life, that they want me to check off and create bingos so that I can get prizes, you know, all the incentives. But in the middle of that bingo card is the free space that we all know, and my last name is Freeman, so they thought it would be fun to say free woman. And for me, it captures the essence of this big birthday, but it also captures the essence of a life of faith, because to turn another year in age is just like salvation. We do nothing to earn it. We just wake up one morning and our earthly age turns another digit. But in turning a new age, those who love us find ways that bring us joy and life, and they tell us to go live that way. They tell us to go do the things that will indeed bring us freedom, people to see, things to do, things that make us healthy, things that will bring us peace. Not to do out of obligation, but to do out of freedom, because that is what God hopes for us. Jesus calls us to love our neighbors as ourselves. This is our sole objective in our life of faith, to trust God that we've been given enough to live and give the life and freedom we've so freely been given. Jesus moves us just as Jesus went from death to life, from slavery to freedom, from hate to love, from worry to trust. Jesus does all of this for us because Jesus loves us so very much, wherever we find ourselves, even if we're grumbling like the Israelites were in this text today. Jesus knows where you're hurting, and Jesus wants to offer you freedom. May you know it, may you live it, may you trust it, and may you share it, for this is what it means to be a child of God. Thanks for being here today. Thanks be to God. Amen.